This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Benin people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Benin, bro. Boy, I from Benin, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Benin, bro. Boy, I from Benin, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Benin, bro. Boy, I from Benin, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259, and you can text us powered by BTC at 422-GR96, and you could also listen in at 969 Cable Bahamas. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Friday evening, at least Friday night. I know you're going to take your wife or your girlfriend out to have a nice meal and enjoy yourself. Those who are driving, please drive with due care and caution. You know, there are also pedestrians walking. And just have a wonderful time tonight. And most importantly, remember to always have self-control. So if you're out there, going out to the nightclubs or to the local bars and restaurants, you know, and there's a disturbance where you can avoid it, avoid it as much as possible. Because as you can see, we're losing so many lives. And if you notice, you'd see, like, it's the same thing, just different guys. Sometimes it'd be repeated offenders, but most times those guys, them also get their demise. But it's just that someone picks up that same spirit, and we have seen it where young guys are just driving in the car, pulling up to a particular spot, running out, you know, and then shooting randomly. And, you know, we just had a four-year-old shot, and then the next young man killed, and the next injured. And this is occurrence all around the country. A few months ago, but 2 months ago, we had the same incidents in Mason Addition. We had in Benin, all over Benin. You know, we had some incidents in Camp Road. So all in all, it's the same thing happening over and over, just sometimes same victims. Repeated offenders. You know, just the mindset is just keep on transcending from one person to the next. So, yeah. So going out to the nightclub, always remember, you know, that you have persons who are thinking like that, who are very violent. So avoid that as much as possible, okay? You know, so if you go to the nightclub and someone trying to have a little argument with you, try as much as possible to, you know, calm the situation. And if you have to leave, leave. Not, it ain't the fact that you're scared or not. You know, it's the fact that there are consequences even when you, you know, self-defend. And, you know, so the best thing to do is just have a calm, complex mind, knowing how I should say when to just deal with the situation. De-escalate the situation. Yeah, and it's a pleasure to be your host on Guardian Radio 96.9. On today's show, we're going to talk about plans to outline for a criminal cannabis regime. They're talking about medical use will be legal, small amounts to be decriminalized, and cannabis to be permitted for religious use. You know, I'm going to comment on that, and then we're going to talk about urban renewal, which I think was a great invention by former Prime Minister Perry Glasson Christie. I want you to listen in how we played a very important role of establishing that particular inner city program to help develop the inner city people in Nassau, New Providence. And I want to assure you that I feel that the urban rural centers, you know, besides the music, where they're situated, can be more impactful. And when I'm talking about impactful, I feel that, you know, if the urban rural people who are in these centers were given access to the Ministry of Environment, you know, they have access to the police. If they have access to probably, you know, Ministry of Housing, you know, Ministry of Social Services, which I think they do. But I mean, we have to make it a priority because I feel that the urban renewal program could be 10 times more effective than what it's doing right now in these inner city communities. But first, we're going to talk about the outline for the cannabis regime. And we're going to start, let me read, and then also got in, you also have it in Tribune. So let me just read a little part of it. The government of the Bahamas yesterday, let me see. Man, it's so dark in here. All right. Sorry. All right. Released a component of its cannabis. Hold on, man, I can't even see too good. Cannabis related bills. Consultants with including decriminalization cannabis under 30 grams, legalizing medical and religious use of cannabis, on expunging criminal records for cannabis possession under 30 grams. Attorney General Ryan Pindo told reporters at the office of the Prime Minister that the proposed legislation is based on the findings of the CARICOM Regional Commission on Marijuana, which released its report in 2000 and let me see, I think it's 18. The report recommend an end. I'm gonna go to page 85. Okay, and this is the Guardian, some good stuff. It outlines so overly reconstruct probation of cannabis and urge countries to embrace a health rights centered approach through sweeping legislative reform. The Bahamas Commission on Marijuana in its 2020 report concurred with the opinions of the CARICOM report. Today we are announcing the public's release of the cannabis bill and the associated of legislation, which would create a framework for regulating the cultivation of cannabis as an agricultural crop and allow for certain medical, scientific research and religious uses of cannabis in the Bahamas, Pindus said. Under consultation process to solidify feedback from Bahamians is already underway. We are being conducting a series of small sessions with organization and interested constituents throughout the past week. Well, my take on it is that, you know, I'm not encouraging no one to use marijuana, okay? But I like to say that this marijuana that we're facing in the country today was a natural grown substance. It's green, you know, and the world leaders who at that time fear cannabis because cannabis, you know, you got cannabis oil, people were making jeans, pants out of it. Cannabis also gives more oxygen back to the atmosphere than many of the coral reefs, you know, in abundance. You know, there are cannabis medicine, cannabis, people use it to make fuel. There are so many uses for cannabis, you know, but the world bound it. The World Health Organization bound it and make it a criminal element. And since the introduction of the Drug Enforcement Agency, especially in the poor black communities, not only in the Bahamas, but in Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, United States of America, especially when crack cocaine came in effect, it was a war on drugs. And when they came down with the Drug Enforcement Unit and the whole drug enforcement DEA thing around the world, where we also signed on back in the late 80s, and they targeted persons who were selling cannabis. And many of the persons, you know, three strikes, you know, they were given life imprisonment and destroyed their family structure. And, you know, it was damn dangerous drugs. And in the Bahamas, if you know many of the cases before the courts, I'm talking about the magistrate courts, you know, it's in the thousands, you know. And a lot of our young men had criminal records for over 10, 15 years with a small amount. And many of the young men in this country who, over the course of their years, who find themselves unemployed in the country, normally would go into illegal dealership of selling narcotics, especially marijuana. You know, there ain't so much people selling crack cocaine on the streets now, but a lot of people now are selling marijuana. And it's a way of living, you know, because that's the only thing they can do, you know. Because, you know, some of them are unemployed, some of them come out of prison, some of them, you know, just don't know nothing else to do. So they nickel and dime on the streets, and, you know, the police, you know, comes and do that part. You can't blame the police because, you know, it's illegal. And if it's illegal, the police have to do their job. Sometimes the police be discreet, you know, if they understand the situation, they catch you a little joint or two. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they could catch you with a large amount. But it's the discretion of the police officers to understand the situation. They run your name to the computer, they see you're not wanted. You know, and they probably themselves, you know, would be the judge during the execution and give you a break. Enormous cases, the police do this, you know. As far as we can talk about the police, you know, I can give cases where the police would do this, you know. They show compassion, you know. Understand some people, they lock up and say, man, you know, I get my little daughter home. You know, boss, man, only me taking care of her. And she's home now, boss. And, you know, the police say, man, you lying. We all saying all these stories. And the police say, okay, if you take me home right now, and you get catch with this 2-3 joints or, you know, and if you take me home right now and you show, and your little daughter sitting down in the house, you know, I'd give you a break. Me and my officer would give you a break. And we hope that you would be more careful next time. And if they go to that house and they see that, you know, the little girl is in there, they would release you. You know, but overall, we have a lot of cases that are backlogging because of small possession of marijuana. And the thing that hurts me most is that when you look on your police record, it says dangerous drugs. And it doesn't say it's the quantity, you know, it just says dangerous drugs, which is equivalent as you getting bust with a couple pounds of marijuana. It has no difference than you getting bust with a small amount of marijuana on a big shipment of marijuana. It says dangerous drugs. And it makes it seem that there's so much drugs, and it's just one little itty bitty, you know, $5 joint, you know, a couple grams. And I think that we should decriminalize it, like what the government is doing now. I guess after they closed Parliament, where I understand that they have passed over 100 legislation, so I guess they have done. They are part of us to pass new laws, now they're waiting to restart Parliament with a new session. I guess this time now they want to focus more on the people. So this could be one of the legislation they put forward to bring to the people at this particular time. And they decided now that we could close Parliament, recess Parliament. Let's now go forward now and bring to the Bahamian people the laws that we're going to pass and how it's going to benefit the Bahamian people. And that, I think this is a step in the right direction. And I think that, you know, when they're talking about medical use will be legal. Medical marijuana should be legal in the country because medical marijuana, according to the U.S., many of the U.S. veterans, you know, who went in the Iraq War, the Syrian War, or wherever war it is where the U.S. soldiers went in, you know, they were traumatized, you know, because they were seeing their friends, you know, and family get blown up, you know, by AV. And that means the soldiers were not trained for this. You know, they were trained to, you know, go in there and, you know, take out a target. But they're going in countries where people are smart with technology. They grab these tank shells and they wire them across the road. And when the soldiers are riding their Humvee, they explode. And when they explode, you know, they do serious damages. And then some of the soldiers are in close combat where they are shooting left and right, you know, in Afghanistan and these places, you know, where bombs are dropping, mines are going off, you know, our friends are just getting blown away. Some soldiers, you know, talk about their friends, you know, just getting disintegrated, you know, and they can't sleep. They have post-traumatic stress disorder. And you know what is number one recommendation for these soldiers in the U.S. Army who are committing suicide? And they have a high percentage of U.S. soldiers who commit suicide. And the doctors, scientists, right? The doctors on the basis recommend medical marijuana. These, and still the soldiers, and many of them were given medical marijuana. And this, you know, has kept them going because when they're using it, it calms them down, you know. I will also say, you know, as far as small amounts to be decriminalized, I think that's a big step in the right direction because we save the courts a lot of time. You know, the police now could be the judge, jury, and executioner now because if they could catch you with small amounts, they'd ask you a citation. And most of all, with the small amounts to be decriminalized, I don't want the Bahamian public to think that you should abuse the fact that the government of the Bahamas is going to pass decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana. We have kids in this country. We have people who don't smoke in the country. So I'm hoping the government, when they say recreational use, that they allow you to use it in your yard. You know, if you get catch in the road with it, walking in the road with smoking it, you should get a citation, $50 the first time, second, $25 the first time, second time you're walking in the road, you get $25. And as long as you keep on walking on the road with it, you would get a citation every time and it'd go up. So if you do it twice, it's $50. Next time you do it, $75. Until you learn that, go in the back of the yard and smoke for recreational use. Because we still have the rules and regulation and respect for others who don't smoke marijuana. You know, you can't be smoking on the bus. You know, oh, legal now, and you could be smoking on the bus while it's passengers on the bus. No, 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 no. That is not recreational use. That is abusing and trying to prove a point by being an idiot. You understand? So I hope this point is well made, that if it's decriminalized in small amounts, you get catch with a joint or two. You know? You could get away, but you just need to be more careful and understand that the law ain't playing, and you also have to be a concerned citizen. You know? I get some comments on Facebook. Let me see if I can see them. We get Sarah Hansen, yeah? She says, yeah. Let me see. Let me go close. Excuse me for a second. Says, yeah, they playing games with the people. The bill they talk is what they talked about before the last election. Sarah Hansen, my good friend, you're making a lot of good points. I'm not pro-drugs, but I'm pro-choice. So I don't feel like marijuana should be decriminalized, given the benefits that are being shown. If an adult wants to use marijuana safely, I don't see how it affects anyone else as long as they're not driving. In my experience, there are more problems associated with alcohol abuse than with marijuana abuse. That's Sarah Hansen, my good friend. And yes, she also says, yes, respect for others is key, and keeping it out of the hands of kids and teens. Yes, ma'am, you're quite right. My boy, Mr. Wright, you know, good night to each and every one of you. Good comments. Good comments. And for me, I did something wrong just now. What did I do this now? I'm going to press some event on Facebook just now. I can't believe it. Okay, I'm back. No. Okay, I'm back. Oh, sorry. Good night. 1 second. Go ahead. Good night.
Yes. Good. I'm the gentleman that spoke to you last week about going to college.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So when we meet, you'll know you'll be able to have.
That's excellent. Go ahead, sir.
So, listen. I am a college graduate. I have a master's degree in my area, and I want to make a point about the marijuana thing that I don't hear anybody talk about yet.
Go ahead, sir.
Now, I don't. You smoke marijuana?
Well, I can't say that public on air.
No,
so
I say used to.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Now,
yes, sir.
Well, if you smoke marijuana, and that first one or two pulls, I don't know if you remember the times, it bring the coal up off your chest.
Yes, sir.
The big lump of coal come off your chest.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know why it does that, or, you know, like it's almost like it isn't supposed to be there, but the reaction is the coal comes up off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that I don't hear anybody talk about, in the night, I can't sleep. And what I do, I get about two pulls of that, and I sleep like a baby the rest of the night.
Yes, it relaxes you.
Yes.
Yes.
So these are things, I guess there are not no science behind what I'm saying.
Mm.
But I am telling you facts. When I can't sleep, I have me a little piece there, I get a smoke of that, and I go to sleep the whole night. Because, see, I got problem, money problems.
Yes, sir.
Stuff like that, and business problems.
Go ahead, sir.
So I need to be able to sleep. And that brings the coal up off my chest.
Yes, sir.
Because I have asthma.
Mm.
And you don't want to see the lump of coal that comes up sometimes. Just take two pulls of it, and you'll be surprised to see the amount of coal come off your chest. Now, there's no science behind this.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just stating something that happens to
you
me.
You talk about you personally, so go ahead, sir.
Yes. So I just want people to know that out there. And this is to say science hasn't explored this part of it yet.
Go ahead, sir.
So when they're talking about the ill effects of it, there are good effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more to be explored about this drug.
Mm.
So I just wanted to put that out there. That's my two cents.
Well, your two cents is real good because you made some health benefits from what you're talking about, bringing them coal. You talk about you need,
yeah,
you know.
And you'd be surprised to know the amount of coal in your lungs.
Well.
And even if you're breathing properly, you're a healthy person. Because that counteracts something in your lungs and
yes,
it makes you cough, the coal come up off your chest.
Wow.
And you don't want to see the globs that come up.
Wow. So it's many health benefits as well because, you know, the Genesis speaks about the grains and how, you know, they are very healthy and useful for mankind.
Right. And then for people like me who are under a little pressure because COVID almost destroyed me,
mm-hmm.
I can't sleep some nights.
So you just use it because you need something to put you to sleep. You know,
yeah,
you
and
wake
I'm not, I don't drink. I don't believe in drinking like
okay.
that, to go to sleep.
Okay.
And something nice and mild, and I just go right off to sleep and sleep till in the morning.
Wow. Awesome.
Now, I don't go out. I don't use it in the day because I don't like...
No,
I
you use
do
it.
Nothing in the day.
You're
like
not
that.
Abusing
I'm doing
it.
Business in the
you're
day.
Doing business. So that's the point I was going to make. You know,
yeah.
after you finish
no,
the call.
No. I don't even like the smell on me.
No. You use it for a certain time after
yeah.
every dinner, and you want to go sleep because
I
you get
like
awake in the morning.
I don't like smell it on people.
Yes.
I don't believe you should go out and be around people. But that odor, for some reason, the odor is foul.
Yeah.
But
It's good. Just relax.
Like you say, at home.
Yes.
Use it at home.
Yes, sir. Back of the yard. Side of the yard.
Oh, like in your bedroom. You let
in your bedroom,
go,
yeah.
You relax. You're watching TV.
Yeah.
And you catch a little puff, and my dear, you go right off to sleep like a baby.
So I could ask you a question. You know, Sarah Hansen, she was on just now, and she was making some valid points. What do you think about driving and smoking a blunt?
No, I don't think that. No, that's being ignorant.
That you're just like drinking. That's just like drinking too.
Yeah, that's like drinking. That is not for you to be driving around. Because the odor is foul. You're bringing heat on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You look stupid. Like you say, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Why you can't just smoke at home and then go out?
That's right.
Why? I take a bath, get the scent off you.
Okay.
So
makes sense.
People can think you're decent.
Makes sense.
But these fellas, they ride, then they won't know why the police stopping them. Then, when they roll down the window, the smoke bomb will kill the police. I like to hear you laugh. Like I always tell you. Yeah, I see what time they roll down the police got a fine. And all of them, they're eating the marijuana, but they got so much, you know, they got these tinted windows. The police don't know what he's up when they roll down the window. He don't know what he can see or smell. And he's finding the smoke trying to see who in the car.
Yes, sir.
So, these boys, I don't know what's wrong with them. Honest to God.
Yes, sir.
They look for trouble of yaks.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, I just want to put that out there. Yeah, that's something else to be explored.
Yeah, you ain't putting that out there. What you said is very important for everyone who is listening, you know.
Because a lot of us have sleeping problems, and we take sleeping pills.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to know the amount of sleeping pills I sell.
And
people come here and buy the little packets, the PM, and man, they buy some of them come here every other day.
So I'm going to ask you a question. How come you don't take no sleeping pills?
No, I don't believe in pills to sleep.
Okay.
Because I believe I'd be too induced.
So with the marijuana, it's more better.
Yeah,
natural.
See, when you could, if you under the influence of marijuana, you could still wake up, smell smoke,
yeah,
and react.
Yes, sir.
But if you're under a drug like a pill,
yes, sir,
what is designed to have you drowsy for a certain amount of hours. That's what I'm afraid of with sleeping pills.
Wow.
Because they're designed to keep you drowsy for a certain amount of hours.
And you see, and the marijuana doesn't do that, right?
No, because you could still come out of your sleep.
Okay, so look like, I see the point you're making.
Yeah.
A very valid point.
Yeah, so the chemical is in, then we don't know what all they put in these chemicals to keep you. But I'm always afraid of a fire. You see? That's why I don't take sleeping pills.
Yes, sir. Because you wouldn't be able to wake up in time. That's
right,
what you're trying
and
to
react
say.
Properly.
Oh.
Not unless it's early in the morning and that happens and then when it's wearing off.
Yeah.
Because I know one time I was in the hospital and the man gave me a sleeping pill at 9 o'clock. I didn't wake up just 9 o'clock next morning.
Wow.
Marijuana don't do that to you.
Wow.
So they could put you to sleep for way beyond the time you anticipate.
Wow. Yes, sir.
But if you could get your little pill and go to bed, the most you're going to sleep is about maybe 5 or 6 hours.
Wow.
And you up, ready, fresh, and go to work.
Yes, sir.
So how they talk about this thing, a lot of them, see, and we always get these people who don't even use it. But they'll go drink a fifth of a bottle of Hennessy, a bottle of red wine, and don't know the effects it have on them going on. And they'd be driving and going home, you know.
And mess up their livers and all that stuff,
yeah,
especially
but
Hennessy.
They would jump in a car.
Yes, sir.
Drunk or half cut, like we would say.
Yes, sir.
And drive home. And don't know how much people's lives they're putting in danger while under the influence of alcohol.
Makes sense, yes, sir.
Because we don't check them. We figure, oh, he's only drinking.
Yes,
it ain't no big deal. But you know, people can get killed because of people driving drunk or
yes, sir.
Under the influence or can't handle their liquor, like we say.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't measure.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to do like this marijuana and wipe out the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the people who don't have a clue. Don't have a clue about it. Bet you all them out there who talking about it, they never smoke.
Mm.
I don't know for not no length of time.
Mm.
So, you know, you just got to get different opinions. People are afraid to say these things and bring it out. Because, no, you know, they got such a stigma attached to it. But as time going, just like they come out with the gig thing, and it's going to come out and people are going to start talking about it more openly.
Yes, sir.
Because you have a lot of doctors and lawyers who smoke.
Yes, because they need it.
They need to sleep.
Yes. Especially what they see with their eyes, especially when they're going to the operating table. You know,
yeah,
all these people getting shooting.
Not only that, though. See, for me, it's that sleep. You need that rest so you can function the next day.
Mm.
And be on your feet and rest.
Your best behavior.
Yeah, and rest is what the body needs.
You get that 8 hours what you need. You get the 8 hours what you need. You know,
and
leave that rest.
You take two pull of that. I'm guaranteeing you'll go to sleep the rest of the night.
So what kind of tuple is it? What kind of stuff?
Like a cigarette if you smoke a
cigarette. Yeah, I know. I know. But there's a cushion pay or some indica.
Listen, my friend. I don't know what it is or how good it is, how much THC in it, or whatever the case might be. I'm not a scientist.
Okay, so I got you. I understand. I understand.
I go to him, and I get a little one.
I understand.
And that lasts me about a week.
I understand you lot of glass up.
Yeah, because I only take in two pulls, so I get a whole week out of a joint. I wonder how high these fellas will be trying to get. And then they sit out and smoke a whole. How high are you trying to get?
Lord.
You can't do anything after you get so high.
Yes, sir.
You see, and then they need to educate people on trying to get so high.
Mm.
What you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You only need a little thing to get you under the influence, just like how people drink when they go to parties.
Yes, sir.
And they call themselves having a good time. And that's right.
Yes, sir.
They dress right up just to go drink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing, but they put such a stigma on it from the old days, predominantly in Prohibition, before Prohibition, that it never wore off.
Yeah, and it really has affected us tremendously in the country, you know, because it stopped a lot of people from getting employment, having a great future, you know. It's stagnated so many thousands and thousands. It's affecting us now, you know.
Because you got some nut who thinks, oh, it isn't good, it's the devil, it's this, it's that. But yet they got this alcohol, they're pushing it down. Mm-hmm. You go around this island right now, everybody got a tent up selling alcohol.
Yes, sir.
Everybody got this day, the next day, the dance, the concert. And what's the whole thing behind it? The alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol. You find all the MPs, they out there calling themselves, having a good time, they drinking.
All right, yes, sir.
And then they jump in their car and drive home.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody says nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you let them catch you with a little joint like you say, they ruin your whole career, whole life.
Yeah.
But you don't want to know how much of them be drunk on the weekend driving home. Mm-hmm. These same people who are making up these laws.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Scrooge, you go out and have a good time. Keep thinking about going to college. A fella like you need a little paper behind your name.
I agree, you know, sir. It ain't too late. I always take an advice, you know, and right now I'm getting ready to finish my restaurant in the next 2 months of God's spell if I'm still living, and then I'll be able to take the next phase in my life. You know, I just don't want to come to that.
One day I'm going
to
come and meet you. You still around there on the corner where you...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It'll be a pleasure to meet you.
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much. And some very good comments you made. Sarah Hansen, I lost you on Facebook. You know, I ended up pressing the end button, but if you're still listening, I appreciate your comment. There were some good comments. As far as also legalizing the marijuana, I mean, decriminalize it. You know, I feel that, you know, if you use it, if you need it for medical use, especially if it's a child and you need it for some type of medical issue that you have, I recommend that, you know, you can get it. You know, but I'm also saying that, you know, for me to feel that, you know, if you're in school, you know, junior high school or government school or primary school, you should not be using it. You know, you can use it after the age of 18, you know, when you finish school, et cetera. That's when you should be able to legally use it. You know, for us who older, the older persons, we can use it anytime we feel, as long as we use it for recreational use, but it's in the back of the yard, you know, or a safe spot away from the kids. Because we don't even want to encourage the kids to be smoking, you know. We don't even want them to be encouraged to smoke. Now it's going to be legalized for them, decriminalized for them to use it. I mean, to use it in the future as they get older. But we also don't want to encourage them because they'd be seeing a smoke right on the side of them. You know, we have to be more mindful, you know, and be more discreet, you know. The same way, you know, we live in a one-room, bedroom apartment. We have two female young girls and a little boy, you know, and the mother and father, or the mother and boyfriend, or mother and different multiple, or the daddy and multiple woman, you know, would have sex in the room with these kids, and they're thinking the kids sleeping, but not knowing to them. I mean, I think the parents would know, but they just would not really care because they're comfortable doing what they're doing, not knowing that they're teaching their kids at a young age to be sexually active, seeing different person coming over, seeing mommy and daddy, you know, switching partners. And this is what we don't want to do when we want to legalize the marijuana. We don't want to teach our kids this. Just the same way we don't want to be in a one-bedroom house where, you know, you're having sex and your young girls now, who don't know about sex, watching the mother, you know, having sex with multiple different men. You know, and this is like a training session for them. So this is the kind of stuff you have to talk about and have a dialogue, you know, and consult with the people, you know, because these kind of questions need to come up. And then we have to have a solution to the question that comes up. So that's why it's important that we have this conversation, you know. And for last but not least, cannabis to be permitted for religious use. Of course, cannabis should, from day one, be used for religious use. Because the Rastafarians are not no troublesome guys or no one who are against the law. The Rastafarian, I think, if you really follow their religion, they teach about peace. You know, they know about the natural order. So for all these years, as the Bahamas government and Jamaica government, you know, especially these Caribbean countries, you know, that persecuted the Rastafarian for over 50 to 100 years or more, because, you know, they're the closest one who really came from Christ. You know, if you listen to what the Rasta, the real Rastafarians, if you listen to the Naya Bingi and all that stuff, you'd see where they're in tune with the Father, you know, with nature. You know, they don't destroy, you know. They have a principle and morals they follow. They were never violent until, if you look in Jamaica, you would see where the government, you know, came down on Rastafarian, where they were arresting and even shooting down Rastas in Jamaica just for smoking marijuana and just for wearing clocks on their foot. Yeah, clocks, people. Clocks, shoes on your foot. You were getting killed in Jamaica for those. And arrested. And Rastafarians who were smoking their marijuana were persecuted by Jamaican government. Prime Minister at that time. And they passed a decree where there's cutting Rasta here. And in the Bahamas, we took on the same morals. And, you know, that's why I talk about the Christian church. And the church never defend the Rastas. You know, Foster Eggers saying the church was against the Rastafarian here. And it's coming out of the Bahamas. So, yes, it should be legal for the Rastas because they are peaceful guys, you know. And that's their belief. And it's part of their religion. And it's part of our religion also. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Now, for Specs, Scrooge, what's up?
Heading blessed.
This is the GNN calling. Listen, Scrooge, as long as we've been around this town, see different elections, different governments, we should be used to what the tricks these fellas has been playing. Understand me? Anytime something big is about to go down, and they really don't want the vehement people to be thrown into it,
they put a distraction.
They throw out the distraction. Marijuana thing is just a distraction because they know vehement is gullible, and any topic they throw out there
could change
we could jump for every
change the momentum.
Exactly.
From the real issues.
Scrooge, you know what's going on out there?
Yep.
We got rapists, we got children being.
I'm going to that.
And whatever. We got crime, high crime.
Yes, sir.
But it is all kind of things. And you talking about marijuana. People going to smoke, who going to smoke and smoke anyway. That's a distraction. Many ain't that. Just put them gay bears out there for you to talk about.
That's why I finished my comment. That's why I finished my show for the day. Remember I told you I have two topics? There's only one half.
Yeah. This
follow
this,
the next half.
That's a distraction, you see?
I give you a good distraction in the second half.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir. And I agree with you, sir. You know, this law is supposed to be passed a long time. Those who want to smoke should smoke. Just do it politely in the back of the yard. If they're going to pass a law, if you're going to use it for medical use. Like I said, there are soldiers in the U.S. Army who have post-traumatic stress, and the doctors and scientists recommend that they smoke medical marijuana, marijuana. You know, we have a lot of cases in the country where, you know, we have thousands of people before the courts for marijuana possession or possession of marijuana. We help to decriminalize it, you know. And like I said, I'm not encouraging no one to smoke. But at the same time, if the government passes this legislation, out of the 100 bills, I guess, that they suspended parliament, and this is one of the bills, I think it's the step in the right direction. But also we need enough guidelines to make sure that we understand that we are trying to make a better Bahamas, okay? And I want to thank everyone for listening in and those who call. And you guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. I have one more caller before I go. Let me take this caller before I go to my second part to talk about the urban renewal centers. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, what's up, Graham? What's up?
You know, it's very interesting what you said. I've been watching it from, I used to host a radio show back in 2008.
Yes, sir.
We started the year with the same subjects. spousal rape, marijuana, same-sex marriage. It's almost like clockwork that every year they bring the same distraction, eh?
Yes, sir.
You know what's sad? Two things on marijuana. One, will the poor people just be able to be users, like they can drink a beer, but they won't be able to grow in large quantities?
Like the medical like marijuana?
Like you can't now brew beer, but you could use it, eh?
Yeah.
And so will we leave that for the rich people to be the growers?
Distributors and growers.
See, because if that's how it's going to be, no, I don't want it.
Makes
it needs
sense.
To be where the rich people can't touch it at all.
Mm.
It needs to be something that's just for the poor, for them to get rich off of it. And when we talk about marijuana, there are 99 uses for marijuana, from drops to tablets.
Here's some. Go ahead. Here's some examples, bro.
But when we move the smoking part away, nobody wants to talk about it anymore. I have a 200-year-old document written on hemp paper with hemp ink. Yes, you can take the oil, and you actually can dye it and make an ink out of it.
And it lasts from 200 years ago.
That's right. But when we take smoking away, no one wants to talk about it. None of the good, you know, medicinal purposes. Mm. See, I got no problem with people smoking, you know. They could smoke crack if they want, but they need to sign a paper saying that when they come to the hospital at 40 and 60 and they have lung cancer, that you and me who didn't smoke wouldn't have to pay extra national insurance and national health insurance to cover them.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, see, because that treatment for lung cancer may be like thousands of dollars. Okay. I mean, you and I got to pay more for that. Because there's no study that says putting water or smoke of any kind in your lungs is good.
Not to cut you off. So also, we should pass that to the LGB, for those who the transgender who change their sex, because they healthcare is very expensive. Also, we should charge them 1-2 a gram.
Well, anything, we could even go down to the level of people who eat sugar 24 hours a day and make themselves sick.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to pay for that because you do exercise and try to eat healthy, right? So your NHI, when it comes, should only be 2% of your paycheck, where somebody who wants to smoke, they should pay 20% of their paycheck because it's going to be very expensive for them when they get older.
Wow.
And so they should have contributed. But you know what the problem with NHI, NIB, and all of that?
What's it?
Where the money gone? Where my VAT and my NIB money gone?
There you are.
Because I done pay plenty. And now they say NIB might not be there when I need it.
They rewarded the different government entities, and they go on buy hotels and property and all kind of stuff.
And build buildings
with the taxpayers. What do we call it? Pension fund.
And 20 years later, they bulldoze the building, eh? That's a real shame. I think we need a forensic audit. We need an accountant from away to come and look at the treasury from day one to now to see where our money gone. You remember the environmental disposal levy fee money? Like when you bring in the cell phone and car tire and car, you pay that little extra charge?
That was a couple of years ago, right?
That's been going on now from, I think, 2014, whatever. Have we collected billions of dollars?
Yeah,
where the money gone? And the VAT was to pay off the debt. But now the debt keep getting bigger, and they still collecting the VAT. So where the money going?
Right.
See, they can cause one of these people to win by accident because they're doing too much foolishness. I can give you a discourage. 50 years of being treated like a second class citizen in Bahamas, while the foreigner got everything they wanted, and I have not gotten one new hospital from 1952. If anything happened to you or I, we got to go to that same UBP hospital. Isn't that something?
And make a prime example. I was watching Eyewitness News, and this lady, you know, she had an appointment to the hospital from a few months ago, and she came to the Bahamas. She couldn't even get her appointment. They had to send her back on the family island for something that is very important. She didn't even have no time to get on the operation table or operation, just like what you say now, Graham. It's crazy, man.
Speaking about that, 50 years, we've not built one state. I don't mean a big thing like New York. I mean, just like Nassau is a city one story tall. We've not built one city in any of the 700 islands. God can punish us. Remember the story in the Bible of the talents? We go and hide our talent.
Wow.
50 years, not one new city, not even one new airport. Look at Long Island. and they want to talk, but they celebrate. What you celebrating? Can't go into casino. Can't have a U.S. dollar account. Can't trade a stock in New York. There's a list of things Bahamians cannot do. Discrimination in 2023. But you know what? The man tell me change is here. I don't know what that mean, but it got to be better than what I had. Because I don't even get a hospital. Only thing I got in 50 years, I can leave you with this bird.
Go ahead.
Is new potholes. Do me one of them Hubert Ingram laugh. Anyway, I can see you later, eh?
Okay, Grandma. Thanks a lot, Grandma, calling in. Yeah, you know, everyone is passionate, you know, and he makes some valid points, you know. He talked about, you know, no new hospital in the country, you know, and the lady from the family island, you know, who had an appointment to come down and do an operation, you know, for a very long time, she was denied access because the hospital had no space. And, you know, she had an opportunity to come to town, you know, and she needed her operation. And then she was denied it because they just don't have the space. You know, I think people who go into politics, honestly speaking, you know, I think they go into politics just because it's something like you want to be a teacher, you know. But being a teacher, you know, you have to be able to have a caring heart because you're going to have a lot of kids coming there with different attitudes, you know. Some coming in there mild, some coming in there very tough, you know. Some coming in there very hurt, you know. Some coming very rough, you know. So you're going to have different personalities in the classroom, and the teacher have to be able to deal with each and every one of these personality in a different way. You know, she's going to have to show compassion on some, and then some she's going to have to be a little more aggressive because they're accustomed to not listening. You know, and a lot of people don't go into politics to really go there to help people. They go there because, you know, it's something that's passed down from their family generation, and they, you know, had the opportunity to go away to colleges because their family members on both political parties or high-end family, you know, they work hard for their money, you know. And some of them gain their money through politics, you know, and they use that to send their kids to school. And when their kids go to school and they marry into one another family, you know, they don't go into politics to really help nobody. Many people go into politics to get rich and to get vengeance against a colleague, you know, who at that time, you know, offended them, or they have a family scuffle, you know. Prime example, you know, we had former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames, and then we had the former Commissioner of Police, Ellison Green Slade. And then there you could see there was a dispute going on between two of those guys. They were two cops, you know, who were fighting for leadership of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Both of them are politically bound in both political parties. Both of them were sent off. And then when they returned, one was given the title as commissioner, and I think one was given the title as assistant commissioner. For a few years, the assistant commissioner hanged on. And then, you know, he was able to join a political party. I mean, he grew up in the ranks of the political party. And then he was able to achieve his position as Minister of National Security, even though he started to speak, whereas, you know, there's no vindictive here, and the commissioner is going to be secure on his appointment as commissioner. There's going to be no political interference. There's no malice in whatever the situation is. Now, behind closed door, it was a whole different picture. As we can see, the commissioner, you know, was given a post as ambassador under the same administration. So that's what we have going on in our country, you know. They are legislators, people. The government just recessed parliament because they have come to the conclusion of 100 legislation. That means they went in there, they passed, they talked about passing this legislation, and they said that, you know, we have done good. Now we're going to open a new session of parliament and start to implement these 100 bills, you know. And that's what our MPs are for, people. Y'all need to get this in your head. That's what our MPs are for. You know who make the difference? Let me tell you who make the difference. The citizen makes the difference. The citizen's got to go out and be advocates. Help get people to support them, you know, gain traction, you know. Come up with great solutions, and then when you put it forward,
And when you put it forward, you know, it gets stealed from the politician. See, that's the sad part about it. And that's why progress is slow to make in this country. You see? You can come up with creative ideas that could change the country, you know. Some of them will listen to you. Yeah, write it down. And then cast you aside because, you know, they're intimidated by you because you're a smart person. You have great ideas. And because it ain't them, they take your idea and put it forward. You understand? And that's what's be going on in our country right now, and that's why our country ain't moving forward the way it's supposed to be forward. That's why Graham talking about 50 years. That's why the callers are talking about the 50 years. You know, we're talking about this. Ma, I want us to call it state. You know what I mean? You're seeing this from different administrations come up with these legislation. But now look, we're moving forward with the cannabis regime under the Davis and now Cooper administration. You know, and far as I'm talking about urban renewal. Urban renewal to me can be 10 times better and more effective in these inner-city communities. Many of the problems that we see happening in our country today can be solved by urban renewal and forming local government in these communities, okay? I personally know the effects of urban renewal. I personally sat down with one of the Battle brothers, I think it's Herm Battle. He took us back in the early 90s. That's the same time we were in talks with the late, great Sir Lyndon Tendon. After he lost the 92 general election, we were working with him. Foison, guys off the streets. I was one of his right-hand men, along with James Charles, and then many other guys from the inner-city community, like Kelsey Lundy, a.k.a. Scrooge. You know, he lives on Ross Corner. He has a beautiful bar with him and his wife. They have a bar on Gibbs Corner. Tonight is happy hour, so you could go enjoy yourself tonight. And many others, Franz Pascal and many other leaders, you know, we were on the round table. And Vince Lyndon ran again, and he lost in 1997. He instructed us as guys on the street because he saw the potential in us. And he was training us, you know, to become better people, better citizens. And many of us, you know, started to change our lives, and many of us went into business. You know, many of us started to think different. That's how I end up doing what I'm doing now, because meeting Sir Lyndon changed my mindset. And he instructed us to work with then former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie. Mr. Christie was not even opposition leader yet. And then we met Mr. Christie by Sir Lyndon's office downtown on our Day Street before it's demolished, across some flowers. Bank on Junkanoo Beach, which now hosts the hotel. I think it's Compass Point. Yeah, on Junkanoo Beach, we met there. And Sir Lyndon made his pick between Perry Gladstone Christie and the late great Dr. Bernard Nordich. Sir Lyndon Tendon told us to support Mr. Christie as the next leader of the Progressive Liberal Party. So this is all you guys who are in the BLP parties, okay? We paved the way for you guys. So all these contracts you guys are getting on the streets, the same genius here was the one who gave these ideas. And anyone who was around the round table around that time knew that I was a very smart, intelligent young man. And when questions were put forth to me on how we could help the country, I always think for others before I think for myself. And anyone know me, that's how I am. I'm a man of principle. Even when I was on the streets, I was a man of principle and honor. And when I say something in my mood, I mean it. If I promise to do something for somebody, if I don't do it for you then, don't think I ain't going to do it. It's just the time it ain't right, and I'm working on it. And everyone know me. I'm a man of my word. And everyone know that I am a trustworthy person, an honest person. Yeah, so we end up met Mr. Christie. This is the first time I met Mr. Christie by Sir Lyndon office. And we made a contact, we made a connection because, you know, we were close to Sir Lyndon, me and James Charles and a.k.a. Kelsey A. Lundy and many others who were gang leaders. You know, we were cool with Sir Lyndon Pillen. And we went even to the PLP ballroom when they had it by the Cable Beach hotel. And if you watch on stage, you would see many of us back in the early 90s, standing on stage with Lyndon and all the Perry Christie and all the Dr. Byrne and all that thing before he left and go form his own BDM after he was disgruntled. Yeah, on the stage. So, yeah, we met Mr. Christie. And the whole idea about this was to find ways and how we can come up with plans to win the next government. And Mr. Christie himself wanted to find a way on how he can make an impact, to transcend from being opposition leader to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we met, and he was asking us a lot of questions about, and we actually met also at Perry Christie and Ingram's law firm on between Shirley Creek, yes. And Shirley Creek we met there. And in the meeting, we had Herm Battle from Eleuthera. His father was MP for Eleuthera, Philip Battle. And we had a discussion around the round table. You know, we talked about how we could bring an empowerment to the inner city and how we could help the poor. And one of the suggestions they made was that, you know, there are a lot of rundown houses in this community that don't have no hole, that don't have no roof, don't have no windows, the hole is leaking, there's outside toilets, you know, there's no inside toilet, there are outside toilets. And I said, one of the things that we can recommend is that we could come up with an idea on how we can help these people. And we need to come up with a program. And Mr. Christie himself, you know, he pondered this. And then I listened a few months later, you know, he didn't win the general election, but he put this forward, lost the next election. But after the next election, he was able to succeed. And he was able to put these ideas forward because we still was working with the organization to really win the next general election. And when we won, Mr. Christie made it official as the Renewal Center. We're going to take this call. We're going to take this one call and we go back to the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
And a pleasant good afternoon, my good buddy.
Yes, good night to you.
Sparky here.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. Sparky.
Yeah. You know, I always listen to you talking about your days. But I remember my days before
Sparky,
you.
Hold on. Listen. See, the night, see, this is where you just go wrong. You all remember my days. There ain't no time for that right now. All right? I'm trying to explain to you programs that have been very effective. I don't want you luck at me. You're a decent man, Sparky. And I ain't cutting you. But I ain't come here to what I'm doing, like what I'm doing, and you want to talk about what you're doing and all that. No, I'm talking about programs that have been very effective that we're doing as a young man in the country and how it's been very beneficial. What you have done for the country is great in your time. No one discredits you for none you're doing. I think you're great. You're a great call-in talk show person. You understand? But we don't need to look at me and try to compare me to you because I don't try to compare myself to nobody, bro. I am Valentino Brown, Scoochie, Scrooge. I'm from the inner city community. I've contributed greatly to the development of this country. I'm trying to not compete with nobody. I'm not trying to be famous. I'm not trying to be rich. I want to live good, but I ain't trying to be rich off the box or talking on this radio and saying this radio, I using this thing I'm to. No, sir. I'm using this to better help people understand what's going on in our country. I'm using this. You better understand the contribution that we can do as individuals. I'm doing this to show you that government passes legislation. We as citizens like yourself, Sparky, can contribute greatly. Like you've contributed greatly over the years because you've told many stories. But I'm talking about a story now that was directly what we were involved with. With all due respect to you. No disrespect to you. I'm not trying to compete with nobody. All these other talk shows, also on Guardian Radio, I'm not trying to compete with none of them because I don't have time for that. That is not what I come here for. I ain't come here for that. I could care less about any one of those talk show hosts. I respect each and every one of them for their contribution. I don't hate on none of them. None. No talk show in this country. I don't try to compete. That is not my thing because I'm not that type of person. We need persons in this country who are happy for everyone who are doing well and supportive of everyone who's doing well in the country and be unsupportive of when we're saying foolish is going on in the country and make the decision to stand up for what's right in the country. And that's what I am. That's what I am. Me. That's what I am. Yeah. So, We're going to take this next call. Red caller. And we talked about Mr. Christie. And, you know, they write it down. And they was able to pass this legislation and we started the urban renewal program. And Mr. Christie, as much as I'd say things towards him, I'd also talk about the good. Because me and Mr. Christie was like this. I was Mr. Christie right on. And let me just tell people this. But I stood for what's right. You know, I never got a government contract under Mr. Christie, even though I was his right-hand man, because I always stood up for what's right. Remember one time when Mr. Christie lost the election, and he said, you know, there are some people out there who feel that he let down because he know he had the power to help them, and if he get back in power, he'd help them. I was one of those persons he's talking to, because I stood up for what's right. So when you're talking to me, okay, before I check for myself, I check for my country. People who I don't even know, I stood up for and still standing up today. And many people out there persecute me because I tell my life, I talk about the church, and I talk about all this stuff, and many people will be against me. But let me tell you something. I was chosen by the Father. You understand? And I don't have no army. You know who's my army? Me. I's my army. With God. And Yahweh behind me. I don't need no one else behind me. That's how I feel. And that's how I ever was. And anyone tell you when I was in the gang? They could tell you I was a soldier by myself. Never run to nobody for no help. Everyone had to come run to me for help. The bottom set of guys in the border, in the gang, had to come to run to me for help. I never run to nobody for no help. Anyone could tell you that. Never, ever run to nobody. So that's the type of person he is. Yeah, so I feel that. Mr. Christie took it, made legislation, and then he started to give, the government at the time, the PLP, started to give back, started to give side road contracts and et cetera. You know, and looking at the urban renewal center now, you know, they are limited to performing the way they're supposed to perform. They're supposed to be able to fix homes in these communities. They're supposed to be able to sponsor sporting events and events happening in that particular community. They're supposed to be able to help people turn on their lights and fix their roof and fix their toilets and et cetera. If there's a problem with a resident in the community, who have a problem with the next young man, the next young person in the community, the information that is that is gathered by the community residents who can talk with the Urban News Center to liaison this information to the proper authorities in the Urban News Center. They'd find out the parents about individuals who were involved in this skirmish, find out where they live, find out who their father is or if they have a father, and then, you know, use this information. And then go out there and say, you know what, get a local pastor, 2-3 pastors, community leaders, and go to this house. And then you have 2-3 other pastors go to the house of the next accused, person involved in the argument, and start to talk to them. Bring comfort to the home. Find out what the problem is in the home. Find out what the problem is with this individual and why these two young men can't get along. You know, it might be something you can solve by having a discussion and being able to provide an opportunity for both young men to get together, to sit down, to have a dialogue now, because people who are power are there, so they show more respect. Because when we met in Linden and we met all the people in the PLP party, even though we were rough and tough guys off the street, we were able to show respect and be mannerly towards leaders because, you know, it's just a position of power that we saw in St. Linden and the leaders of the PLP at that time that we show respect to. Just like when we see a pastor today, we still have respect for the pastor. You know, that when we see him, it's a good day pastor. Or if we're doing anything that is illegal, like drinking a beer or something. We see a pastor, you know, we ain't going to drink that in front of him, or smoking a joint. And the pastor's walking the street, we cuffed it or hide a joint when the pastor's passing. Yes. So, yeah. And we have a caller? And yeah, so herbal renewal could be very effective because they could be able to solve a lot of problems in these inner city communities, you know. They need to be more manpower and power put in the herbal renewal centers. Tell you the truth, one is through Lewis Creek. You know, we recommend that one to come to Lewis Creek. And it's there and it's doing an outstanding job. But what if we can be able to do a pilot project in that one community, get them to look at the roads. The roads need to pave in Grandstand, Lewis Creek. Clinton Square needs to pave. Anderson Street needs to pave. Comfort Street needs to pave. Taylor Street needs to pave. Woods Alley needs to pave. Okay? Old Boat Alley needs to pave. You know, you understand? These can be done by working with the urban renewal centers in conjunction with the community leaders, where we could identify the problems in these inner city communities, put it forward to the Board of the Urban Renewal. There's a budget put forward, and then we could carry out repairing the roads. Because we have all these potholes in Nassau, New Providence, and it's impossible for the government of the Bahamas to know where all these potholes are and to know how they're going to repair all these roads. They can't do it because they are too busy doing too many different programs. Like I said, they just passed 100 legislation. And they had to close Parliament because they feel they have done enough. So now it's time for the government. It's time for the government now to focus on the people. You know, because I listened to the Prime Minister, he said this is the election season now. You know, going in election spirit. But that means now it's time for the people. So urban renewal could do that. We need speed bumps in these communities, you know. And we could recommend these things to urban renewal in these particular communities. We could identify hotspots, all abandoned houses, and we could give opportunities to the people who live in these communities who are carpenters, plumbers, and et cetera, because there are so many homes need to be repaired. You know, I understand the problem that a lot of people don't have papers for the house. You know, we have to bypass that now, you know, because it is what it is. You know, we need to bypass that now. Let's go with a comprehensive plan to repair homes, remove all abandoned cars, more dialect houses from through the community, and houses that can be repaired, you know. This can happen through urban renewal. That's the true essence of it from I see from it. That's how I feel. You know, right now, as it stands, they are limited. They're only doing, they did back to school today, through Lewis Creek. They gave a lot of backpacks. That is good. But they can do more. You know, that's what the program is there for, to help the people. So if they're to help the people, get the community leaders more involved. Those who have ideas, not no community leaders who don't like one another. You know, those who have ideas and who are serious and committed to the development of the community. At the same time, government of small contracts, give it to these community leaders so they can hand it out to these residents in the community. Because like what I'm saying is that if there's a abandoned house that needs to be repaired or a house that needs to be repaired, you can use a community leader who is a person who is respected. Means that he have no ties, or he have ties to a political party, but his goal or her goal is to be transparent of giving out the works and the contracts for those living in the community, regardless of your PLP or FNO, or you're no part of no political party. Your job is to go in there and to bring people together, to show that the government of the country is committed to helping the people, not just helping people who are part of that party. And because you get a contract and you as a PLP or you as a FNM, you don't like me because I live in the community and I support the FNM or I support the PLP and you don't like me, but I'm the one who can make things happen in the community because I know what the community needs, and I could work with you and we could work together and we could make your government look good and make me look good as a community leader and help so many different people, and we accomplish a lot because we'd save so many lives, we'd put so much smiles on people's faces. You know, you can imagine us working together with Herb Renewal, the community leaders, hiring people in the community, and we're fixing up our community. We're moving dialect vehicles. And then we could go to a point where we could say, you know, I listened to the Minister of Environment. I think it's the Honorable Juan Miller. And he was talking about the outline of the ministry. And one of the projects or legislation or plans of the ministry was to buy abandoned buildings or houses in the community and turn them into community centers, to turn them into productive training centers to assist with empowerment in the inner city community. So these kind of stuff, you know, you could identify a old building, like I said, you know, there's high unemployment in the country right now, okay? Regardless of this, the Davis and Cooper administration saying that, you know, unemployment is down the lowest. That's been in the last, 10 or 15 years, way back. But that's from the government statistics. But there, if you look on the streets, you'd see where there are hundreds and thousands of persons unemployed in the country. So we need to use urban renewal as a tool that it is, and stop using it as a political institute to hire people from the party and put them there just for a contract or just because you're a part of the party. You know, it's wrong. The urban renewal, regardless of PLP and FNM, it should be a continuous private partnership with government and the community to continue to develop the community regardless who wins the general election. I would like to see which prime minister or which party would say that urban renewal now is going to be a private partnership, even though it's still part of government. But the ideal core of urban renewal is to continue with the plans to repair home. It's planned to provide small businesses. It's planned to help solve rivals in the communities, because the center can serve as a headquarters with community people coming into the center, relaying information about what's happening in the community. And this information can be gathered. And as a team, we can be able to solve a lot of these problems in the inner city communities and around the country. But urban renewal, you know, can actually be 10 or 20 times beneficial to the Bahamian people, only if the Honorable Prime Minister understand what he have in his hands. These centers are set up in the inner city communities, okay? And if we use the community residents, and we help empower the community residents, and we use urban renewal the way we're supposed to do it, by showing the people we care and love them, by fixing the houses, by removing dialect vehicles, and we're going to have maintenance. You know what I mean? When we move this car off the spot and we clean on this yard, that very next 2 days, we're going to have a team of people walk around, and they're going to inspect this particular spot. And if there's a car put back there, whoever put the car there is going before the courts. You understand? Simple as that. We find out who put it there, and then we relay the information to the police, and if they don't go and remove the car within a day, they get a citation. Okay? Abandoned houses and apartments in these communities that are unfit for residents to be living in. You know, honestly speaking, we need to check up on the housing issue and apartment issues in these communities, you know, because some of these people are paying rent. And some of these people who are paying rent, you know, some of them are very destroyful, you know. They destroy the tenants, you know, they destroy the person dwelling, who they're staying in. So you got to take that into account too. But most of the time, some of these housing complex and some of these apartments are unfit for Bahamians, people to be living in. You know, some of these apartments only have one bathroom, and you have like about 7 rooms or 8 rooms, 1 bedroom or 2 bedroom, but one bathroom where there's one bathroom where the whole set of people who live in those rooms using this one bathroom. That's not healthy. You know, and it causes a lot of problems because when I'm going to use the bathroom, I can't use the bathroom. Suppose I'm going to go use the bathroom because, you know, I have diarrhea, and then someone's in the bathroom bathing, and they're trying to get in the bathroom. You know, it's going to cause problems. These kind of living conditions should not be existing in the country. And that's why we need our local government, and we need a renewal. You know, we need to be inspecting these housing complex and building complex and what is required as a health standard and how people should be living in these places and what's requirement for the landowners to have maintenance, you know? Maintenance, and to make sure that the yard is in well condition, the water is healthy, you know, hot and cold water, and et cetera. Make sure that all the bathrooms are in working condition. The yard is kept clean, you know, because you look at some of the yards that some of the landlord own. What kind of garbage in it, you know? It is not their fault that the people who live there, who are moved out, you know, they leave their stuff, and then the landlord just don't check, and then someone moves, and they just throw it in the yard, and it just builds up and builds up and builds up, and people are living there, and as this trash is building up, you know, there are rats and roaches and sanity and all this stuff spreading right up in there, and, you know, we just had the COVID-19, et cetera, and whatever, and all these diseases can break through. So we also need to come down on the landowners as well as the tenants who are throwing the garbage out in these yards and stuff like that, you know. So we need urban renewal to really step up. It's too political. It's not doing its full potentials, honestly speaking. It's not doing its full potential. Not. Every election come around, personnel are changed. Why can't we just have it where we understand it's for the people? By the people, was created for the people. And every week we should be seeing where two or three houses are complete in each and one of these constituencies, especially with these MPs are controlling. So in day and time, we're supposed to see, like, you know, three houses every 2 weeks fixed on the news with urban renewal that's accomplished, working alongside a small company and different companies that is being formed for small businesses with different people in that community. And then you have it going on in Mason Edition, you have it going on in Benton, you have it going on in Centerville, you have it going on in Camp Road, you know, empowering and changing the minds and show that the government cares about people. And that's what we want urban renewal to be. I was there from an inception, okay? I sit down with Mr. Christie and I give my input and I give my solution. And one of the solutions is happening today in the country right now as we speak. So I've contributed greatly to many of the programs that you see in this country today. I helped start at Lanahan, Bahamas. That's why when I'm talking with pastors and I'm talking with politicians, you guys could do 20 times more than I can do. I didn't have $1 when I met him as Alexander Mills. Before that, I was doing basketball tournaments. I always had a heart to help out my community. And then when I saw that, you know, I could do more because I see the kids and you have no place to go. You know, from school, on the park, there's no educational center, there's no opportunities. So I went and I analyzed what I can make happen and what is needed for the community. So I met up with Ms. Alexander Millis. At that time, she was the president of the Ron Flea Home. And I was doing an interview with C.B. Moss on Hay Street Park. And I'm wondering for the speedy recovery of C.B. Moss. You know, he is being very instrumental in me. He's one of the reasons I also got into this community activism. You know? And she saw me on the news with C.B. Moss. And Ms. Alexander Miller, being the person who she are, she saw that I was concerned about the people. And she went and she came looking for me. Ms. Ben saying, okay. Nesh, Ms. Ben, she's saying there's a, she said there's a Woods Alley abandoned house problem. And this kind of stuff we're talking about. There are about four or five houses abandoned to Woods Alley. You trying to tell me you can't get a guy like one of the guys from Through the Corner? So make this a priority. And then you could provide employment for at least 20 or 30 guys for at least 3 to 4 weeks. And then you can move on to the next community. But yes, this is the kind of stuff we want to talk about. This Miss Ben, this Nish, she lives through Woods Alley. And she is saying that, you know, they have abandoned house issues. These houses can be used for low-cost homes. You know, the government saying they're looking to purchase, according to when they listened to the Ministry of Environment, Warren Miller, when he gave his speech a few months ago, who was a close friend of mine, so I'm going to meet him Monday and have this discussion about him and see how we could get some of these pilot projects going, because it looked like they don't know where to start. So I'm going to present myself one last time and to see if we could come up with a solution for these abandoned houses, these abandoned cars, all these rats running around the community, and see how we could help beautify and change the mindset of the community residents. You know? So, yes. So, I see a niche. Yeah. Last but not least, recommendation like the urban road can also be useful like this. That's what it's for, community policing. And we want that. We want policing in the community who could be able to talk to them. Talk to residents, walk around every day, talk to residents, and they could get information from the residents. This is not to lock up nobody, but eventually, you know, there are some spots that would be hot, some legal activity going on that is too overwhelming for the community. The residents are afraid, but we have community policing and a community partnership. So information is going to be shared, not to hurt nobody. We're looking to protect the community to make it better. If you have to get the officers to go and talk to these guys in this particular spot and tell them to clean up the spot before we have to go to CID. So the officers don't be the liaison. They say, well, look, if your police officer work to the urban road, our job is to talk to you guys first and see if y'all can get your doctor together. Now, listen, we know some illegal activities going here. We know you guys are here. Our job is to clean the spot up. So what you're going to have to do is clean up your act. If you don't want to clean up your act, then listen to me. If you get more reports of any gunshots or of any illegal drug selling here and as well as harm in the community with shootouts and quarrels and feuds, we have no alternative but to give this to Drug Enforcement Agency. So you get the community police talking to you as an individual for showing your respect. Then if you decide, oh, we ain't listening to you and all that, then the urban renewal police officers as part of the next phase is to go to the Drug Enforcement Unit and make it presentable to them and identify the spot and let them take it course because you with your heart, they don't want to listen. And that's the kind of stuff you need. And she says that these particular spots causes loitering and illegal activity happening in these abandoned houses. And there's so much people looking for houses right now. So many single mothers and single fathers looking for houses right now in this community. And the ministry, I think, of the one ministry of, what's that now, environment, listening to the minister, is looking to purchase homes in these communities and turning them into community centers. Probably you could take some of these homes and turn them into homes for single parents. No? It's beneficial to the community. What do you say? And they're the kind of ideas we need to present to the urban node board. And that's what urban node got to be all about. And it has to be a bi-partnership where it is a part of government so that when government change, the F&M government can't come in and say, you know, we want to put our poison in here and we want to change the dynamics of what's going on here. We're going to fire all these people. No, we want to keep some of these people, enroll them, and continue the program and continue to develop the urban renewal since it's a part of the government, both government system now. The F&M has it and they do their version when they come in. The PLB has it and they do it in their version when they come in. See, it's a mix-up. When the PLB come in power, they want to do it this way. When the F&M come in power, they don't want to do it the PLB. And when the PLB come in power, they don't want to do it the F&M way. And they fire both set of both people who are all behemoth. Uncle said this, you know, you're going to put the Egyptians against the Egyptians. You understand? She's saying, central police officers don't know the community. Let me see. Oh, let me see. Central police officers don't know. Let me see. Central police officers don't know the area. Only come men, guns, or drugs reported. And that's true. That's why we need community policing. You see? Because they know the community. They know each and every resident. So when a two young man who are having a beef in the community dealing with firearms, this information will already be known by these officers. They are fine community leaders and pastors in this particular community, and they themselves will go and bring these two young men together and see if they can be able to have a dialogue with these young men who have these squirrels or these females, what the problem is, and see how they could help them, empower them. See how they could be, let them become friends. Because, see, as long as they're separated, the war is going to continue. But if we get government involved, the church involved, the community involved, and the residents involved, we could solve a lot of these problems before it escalates. The same problem would happen around us, Ron and Grunstein a few weeks ago, where we lost the life of 3 and 1 injured, could have been easy to resolve if we do the same format. And many others, problems in the country can be solved by these ideas or solutions that we were talking about the other night. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio, 96.9.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, sir. Good night to you.
Very, very good. I've been listening to you for a very long time.
Yes, sir.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
I'll never be proud of you. I'm familiar with your family.
Stop it.
Your grandmother, your brother Arthur.
My uncle.
Uncle. Prince.
Yes, yes, sir, you know him. Barry Brennan.
Yes.
Yes, sir, you know my family. You know, yes. My grandmother, Louise Brown, she passed away.
Me and Arthur were supposed to go to St. Augustine.
Okay.
The father Marcy and Peter's. Sent him to Pratt and all those, and Father Bonaventure Dean, and Father Theophilus. It was common in those days to be a part of the Catholic Church.
Yes, sir.
The Catholic Church has done more to help the black people in this country than any other church.
Wow.
Had the Bahamian people stick with the commitment to the Catholic Church and the order, many Bahamians would have been helped.
Wow. It was a signal order to give, to help people.
They used to be hungry. Bahamians would get cheese. They get milk, wine, all these things that were necessary for development. Of course, there was dishonorable people in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there were many persons
who were good.
My cousins, them, Godfrey Popinder, and Bill Pinder and them and Rock Crusher, you should know Bill.
Yes, sir.
They did the park after him.
Yes.
But your father, Vendel, and Harry Brown, and Bursell, you know Bursell?
Yes, I know all of them. Yes, possibly.
Bursell, is he still here?
I think he passed away.
Yeah, I was wondering because I noticed he was having medical, physical problems.
Yeah, my Auntie Ruth just passed away about 6 months, too. Ruth Meadows, she passed away, too, one of the sisters.
Have my sympathy. What about Harry?
Harry's still there. Harry's still there, sir.
Vandal, what was Vandal?
I just saw my father yesterday. And
he's called me cuz. We are family.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The Pinders, you know. But like I was saying, as a people,
yes, sir.
The Christie administration brought in this urban renewal situation.
Yes, sir.
How'd they follow up completely with the plan?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Without corruption and war, you know, being fear, that would have been a marvelous solution
program
to the urban problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because you had the direct communication with the police officers who would have been fellowshipping with the community.
There you go, sir.
A part of the symbiosis.
We were talking to the police. Us who were towing guns and selling drugs, we were talking to the police and giving the police some ideas, sir.
Yes.
You understand?
This is what was so important.
Yes,
that
sir.
The community become one with the policing.
Yes, community policing.
People only can do wrong if they don't see no other ideas, you know.
You're so right, sir. We don't know.
Opportunities to grow and develop.
In the inner city community.
Trapped or forced or bribed or cajoled. You know, people want something that is going to motivate them and excel them to a higher level of development.
Yes, sir.
But we continue to just see people and psychoanalyze in our mind and be judgmental and we think we know them more than God himself.
Talking the real truth, sir.
To those that know that they know, follow them. But those that knows not that they knows not is a fool. Avoid them.
Avoid them.
We've been given instructions, you know.
Yes.
The Bible is basic, B-I-B-L-E.
Instructions.
Basic instructions.
And how to live and how to be prosperous.
Before leaving earth.
And how to live.
You ain't going to heaven, you know, you're going in the grave, wherever they put you, commit you. But your spirit, according to the Bible,
lives on.
Job 7 said the dead didn't know nothing.
Mm.
You go back to the earth, and the earth is who? The earth is the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes,
so
sir.
You commit back to from whence you came.
So you go back to the Father.
From dirt you came, from dirt you shall return.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of whatever situation you go in, carbon dioxide would multiply, and then you would just disintegrate. Huh?
Yes, sir.
It's a serious thing.
Yes, sir.
I want to send my love to Brayman Darlin Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And those Vincent Ferguson there in Spence Street there in Frederica. I know Miss Wallace's children. I disappointed with you, Valentino, that you don't address that issue.
What issue is that?
With Raymond Allen Ferguson and the Wallaces. You know them.
Why are you disappointing me, sir?
Because you. Hearing Brayman for over a year complain about the problems that he was having with the Wallace's family. All of them know him from, Brayman is their grandfather. Why are they disrespecting Brayman? Come on. With the people name and...
It's like this, I ain't God and I can't be everywhere. There's only so much I can do, so I don't know. Other people are going to have to help Bremen, so I ain't God and I ain't Jesus, and Jesus can help everyone, and God can, so I it ain't up to me.
No, we know that you're not God.
I can't be everywhere at once, you understand?
But what the boy named Dorset there?
Mm-hmm.
Dorset.
Pastor Dorset?
Well,
he listens to the radio. He's a pastor. So I think
everything was going on.
Yeah, so I think the point should blame to the pastors in the community who bring him when he's preaching. I mean, he's talking on radio. They live in the community. They should go help him because I help people in my area.
I agree. I'm blaming you.
Mm.
I'm blaming you, my brother.
No, I say you're blaming me.
You know, out of the goodness of your heart,
mm-hmm.
knowing the Wallace family and Tweed and Blimp.
You know, the Wallace family just had two of their loved ones killed back to back.
But you see, the problem is socialization.
Okay, then. So
we need to train our people to know how to behave.
Yes, sir. So
it costs you nothing to be kind and good decent.
Yes, sir.
What First Corinthians say?
Yes, sir.
Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, I have nothing.
Mm.
Why you would disrespect people and want God to bless you?
No, that's why I don't do this kind of stuff.
God can bless you.
Yes, sir.
We got to be conscious, make a deliberate effort to be conscious.
Mm, yes, sir.
And strive for growth and development.
I all for that.
I'm proud of you. You saying you only got one son now. You know how much children you could have done, huh?
Yeah, but I do have a lot of children. The children that grow up and who are doing well, they are my children. I take care of in the community.
I know the environment. I know the community.
They're my children.
A man like you having opportunities. If you were sexual, you would have all them girls.
I know that I'm financially set, and I don't want to go and impregnate no woman who I can't take care of and take care of a child. I don't want to be a weightless father, so I make sure I limit myself that the boy I can handle.
Or penile penetration.
Yes.
But use a reality. Use a reality to growth and family development.
Sir. You can't go over there and help all kind of children.
Parents would do.
Yes.
You know the consequences of having children.
Yes, sir.
When spermatozoa meet egg,
yes,
the ovum is hatched.
Yes.
The placenta is grown.
Yes, sir.
And within 9 months, we have a human.
Okay.
Huh?
Yes,
so
sir.
We have to be careful with this abortion thing. This is going on for years.
Okay.
Thousands of years, I know as a young boy growing up.
Yeah.
Young girls having children in the 40s and the 50s.
Yeah, not to say cut you off, we completely out of time, so go ahead, you could finish real quick.
But I'm saying there's no new phenomena that young girls, they were giving away girls, man. The mothers and the fathers were giving away their children.
Yes, sir.
You didn't know that?
I know. You said it, so it's so dead, so dead.
They didn't have to leave church school when they were 12, you know.
Yes, sir.
We'll be completely.
Yeah, we'll be completely on time.
Take care, man. And call me, man.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I mean, you see my number.
Yes, sir. I can let the producer right now with me. You did wonderful,
sir. Because I want to tell you with Lauren.
Okay, sir.
On honor.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, I just want to read this real comment before I go. They say, good afternoon. The legislation is incomplete and will fuel the black market if recreation, marijuana, cultivation, and use is not addressed. It has to be addressed. And like I said, you know, I was Mr. Christie, one of Mr. Christie's right-hand man. Many of the people who was right around me became very successful because, you know, the contract was given to them, you know, for them to help improve their life. Many of them did build their houses and do good for their families. So I'm real happy for those guys. On the other hand, Mr. Christie did well, you know, with the urban renewal, the whole idea of the urban renewal. I hope that this is his bread and butter. But I hope him to know, and he knows this, because we were there with the battles, and everything I'm saying to you is true. I don't come on radio lying. Nothing like come on radio I lie about. Nothing, because I was never a liar. Anyone who know me know I'm not a liar. Because if I was ever lying on this radio, people would have called in this radio a long time ago, made complaints, say I'm lying. I'm talking to my lady Cheryl Wilson, who I work with 10-point bond for the PLP, that won the general election for Mr. Christie. Remember I told you that? Legislation passed for second chance. Talking about marijuana possession, all this stuff, small business and all this stuff. Lady Cheryl Wilson and me and her came up with that plan at the Woman Branch of Progressive Liberal Party. That's not only the answer to urban renewal. What about the urban design lab under the PLP, which eventually turned to the Overlay Initiative under the Free National Movement? All the major programs when it comes to developing this country came to me, with me being a part of the number one, what you call it now, consultant, who did it freely for many years. And Mr. Christie did well with the idea of implementing local urban renewal. And if we push more into urban renewal, give it more power, more structure, more community policing, we'll solve a lot of these problems that we're facing today in this country. We know what the culprit is, we know how to solve it, we know how to manage it, eh? And we know definitely what decision needs to be made to make the community a better place. I'm completely out of time. I want to thank my producer, Ali, for going over. We completely 8 minutes over. I'm really sorry about that. I want to apologize to God in radio because the show has been so interesting. And I have once a week. I want to say to all the callers, I mean all the Facebook friends, Ms. Bain, my friend, Noel Sinclair, you know, head boy of C.R. Walker. I wish you a very good night. I hope I did a wonderful job on the show. And to my friend Sparky. Sparky's my good friend. No, there's nothing envious or biased against us. You're a good friend of mine. I just don't like when people try to, you know, believe you're competing against one another. I don't compete against nobody. And I don't want no one to compete against me or believe because I'm doing a lot of stuff that they feel that they trying to throw jazz at me in a slick way. That's how I feel. He's been trying to throw jazz at me in a slick way. You understand? And I don't live that type of life. I's a serious young man. I don't play games. I's a big man. I make big decisions. I don't play little boys' game or little girls' game. I's a man. I keep my principle as a man. And when I feel like someone trying to hear in their voice, you know, like, oh, you're doing so much and I doing this. I could care less. My job is to do God's work. What he programmed me to do. What he programmed each and every one of you to do, you go ahead and do it. You just have to accept it. Be able to receive it and be able to apply. And that's what I've been able to do because I am a calm, collect person who have a harmony to just do good. So I just want to say to each and every one, have a wonderful night and see you next week. Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.